This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
That brings us to 5:42, and it's time for Today on Twitter, where people are asking, is it time Malaysia declares a climate emergency?
This comes by way of at Not So Idle, who said, KL is facing floods again. People are trapped in their offices, their vehicles are drowning, they're worried if they'll get back home to their family safely. Malaysia, declare a climate emergency. The city is in desperate need of being resilient to the climate crisis. A very interesting point, because when it comes to this issue of the floods, it's such a recurring thing at this moment that I think, you know, when we talk about how to handle it, there are a variety of ways in which the conversation can go. But there is this increasingly desperate push for a longer term approach, for a mitigative approach, for an approach that addresses the problem at the core rather than, oh, OK, we'll provide things at the tail end of something having happened. And if we look at what a climate emergency means, for context, a declaration of a climate emergency refers to action taken by governments and scientists to acknowledge that humanity is in a climate emergency. And that can be made on different levels. So in this tweet, we're talking about Malaysia and therefore a federal level, but it can also happen on a local government level. They differ in depth and detail in their guidelines. You know, you can declare a climate emergency as a precursor to having more serious policy discussions. It can be a bedrock for how you decide to handle things. So it's kind of interesting to see how different countries around the world have handled it.
Yes, because I was quite surprised to learn in the course of reading up for this segment that as of last year, over 1,900 local governments in 34 different countries have actually made climate emergency declarations. This includes Canada, France, Japan, New Zealand. New Zealand, in fact, in December 2020, declared a climate change emergency and committed to a carbon neutral government by 2025.
Halfway there.
I know, right? Japan, meanwhile, in November 2020, declared a climate emergency after they committed to achieving net zero emissions. But I do find this local government action quite interesting, because even for us, that has some potential, right? Because we may think about the different ways in which our different regions have experienced this issue of flooding, and what KL faces is often quite different from, say, what Kelantan might face. And so I think having this kind of action declared or taken on a local level might actually have a different sort of impact on the larger conversations and the policies we put in place versus a federally declared climate emergency.
And it wouldn't be new because actually the first governmental declaration of a climate emergency worldwide happened in the city of Darebin in Melbourne, Australia. So it's a city level. It's a local government level. And I think that, now we're back to local government elections. But, you know, I think that there is something to be said for actually putting in place policies that are smaller scale and therefore more specific, more dependent on, like you point out, the needs of the area. So if we look at the tweets in response to this, right, Faisal says, having this happen every month is not normal. Given how important Greater KL is to Malaysia's economic vibrancy, these regular flash floods should be treated as a crisis that warrants an urgent mitigation strategy. Now, where is this strategy?
And actually, the strategy or solutions is really what many of the tweets are calling for. Amira says, we don't want a laid-back, quick solution kind of government anymore. We need an energetic, knowledgeable and proactive government running the country because we're at a halt. There's no drive to make living better for people in this country.
So MN says, how to even declare when the minister in charge has said that climate change does not affect our country? And this is where the policymakers come in, because Anas also says, sadly, our poor quality policymakers and public administrators cannot understand climate change and sustainability, let alone a climate emergency. We all wish we have highly skilled public servants, but unfortunately, that is not so.
Well, I just wanted to say that it's not necessarily just public servants all along the way, right? I do think that's the value of declaring something like a climate emergency, because it sets a tone. It's one thing to sort of implement small scale or not even small scale, but there is value, I think, in setting an umbrella to what it is you intend to do rather than a piecemeal policy approach.
Yes. And if I think about the reasons why emergencies or emergency-like situations have been declared in Malaysia in recent times, right? If we think about, for example, lockdown measures, let's just say, right, things that are declared as an urgent thing for our country nationwide, it's partly because there were impacts to what? Health, to economy. Mm. And when you consider that climate change actually also has a very direct connection and through line to those things, then I just think it has logical bearing to it. Now, the fact that it's not been declared or that it's not being talked about, I think has something to do with the way climate change and climate emergencies are viewed in general, but also very much to do with relying on politicians who may not see the value of it, right, in declaring it. And maybe that's where the people come in terms of advocating. But yeah, all of which to say, I think that there should be one. I think that there would be value in being one. I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon, though.
We're talking about a call on Twitter for Malaysia to declare a climate emergency. This is, of course, coming, or it's a renewed call from yesterday's floods that KL experienced again. We'd like to hear from you. Is it time Malaysia declares a climate emergency? Would you like to see local governments perhaps taking this sort of action? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:52. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So we've been talking about a number of different things this hour, but largely related to climate change and the environment. So on today on Twitter, we were discussing a call for Malaysia to declare a climate emergency on the wake of repeated flooding that we've been seeing, particularly in the capital. But also earlier, we discussed the issue of food waste and how we can make better use of our leftovers. Let's start with messages on this notion of a climate emergency.
Very pessimistic ones, I have to say. And, you know, no wonder, actually, with the tone that's generally been struck. So Lokman says, we can declare a climate emergency, but after that, what are we supposed to do? There is no action plan. And I think that the way that it's worked elsewhere has been that the declaration of the emergency then forces the government to sit down and form an action plan or commit to certain goals, whether it's based on larger international agreements or whether it's based on what the country specifically needs. And we mentioned a couple of them earlier, I believe, with New Zealand, for example, saying, I don't want to say buzzwords. Was it carbon neutral?
Carbon neutral.
They said that they're committed to a carbon neutral government by 2025. Japan says they want to achieve net zero emissions. And then after that, I think, is the action plan. But starting with the action plan and then hoping for, I mean, I understand why there's a need for one, but I guess the hope is that a climate change emergency declaration will precipitate or will force the action plan.
So I'm going to read two of the other more pessimistic messages and then address actually the point that you just made. So Asfa says, not doing anything is also a policy. DMA meanwhile says, attitude emergency more like, nonchalant littering and poor urban planning. And that's where I wanted to point out that, see, like declaring something like a climate emergency will actually allow us to put in place how we want to approach things like urban planning, how we want to approach our waste disposal. And that's the value, I think, in actually having a concerted effort made towards addressing climate change versus different ministries working on it in silos.
Yes, because that's the whole idea of a national emergency, right? Or at least a constituency-wide emergency, a city-wide emergency. You know, these are the things that force different action groups, different interest groups to work together. Rose says, Bangsa has been flooding since the 70s. Tons of money for development, little spent on infrastructure and flood alleviation.
That is a great point. And, you know, I've heard of other cities, for instance, force allocating budgets for things like flood alleviation or infrastructure into every development project. We also obviously have particular studies that need to be done before developments can be rolled out. Not sure how much they're enforced, though.
So how much of this do you think comes down to putting pressure on the right people?
I want to say a lot of it. And unfortunately, again, it goes back to that local government thing, right? Mm. We don't actually have the ability right now to put that kind of pressure directly. Usually, it's only when we vote. We don't necessarily have a local government mechanism for us to act through.
Yeah, we don't have a Green Party. I bring that up simply because I referenced the city of Darebin earlier, and the citywide declaration of national emergency was pushed through by a Greens councillor. And that's what happens, I suppose, when there is a political party that is actually actively dedicated to this issue of the environment and sustainability. Because otherwise, it's always a part of the manifesto or it's a part of what's being pushed for. But then, you know, what keeps it centralized? We talk about it when the floods happen, but it has to be something that is constantly discussed or it's not going to go anywhere. Sophia says, we need to stop building large-scale commercial complexes, and as cliche as it may sound, start planting more trees. Trees are natural sponges. The problem with KL flooding will never end if we continue clearing land in and around KL. The most effective way, but less profitable, is to refurbish existing buildings.
Those are all some great points. Definitely something I'd like to see more of around KL, and not just KL, our other urban centres as well. Mar says, in Malaysia, climate change threatens to exacerbate poverty and inequality, with low-income earners economically dependent on activities where climatic conditions play a prominent role, like agriculture, fishing, the informal sectors in the urban economy, and those typically living in more exposed areas. I know that our gig economy, roadside vendors, and mainly our cars and motorcycles are affected badly. We do need local councils to bring a geographical way and labour also on how agencies handle it, draft out SOPs, set projections accordingly.
So I think bringing it down to this issue of earnings and of rice bowls is very important, because that perhaps is one way to apply pressure, right? If it's not going to come in the form of the environment or the environmental ministry spearheading it, perhaps it's going to come from pressure in other ways, right? Of people saying, well, when it floods, I'm so badly financially affected and I can't then go out and do business. And maybe that kind of pressure is another form to apply in order to get to the point where we can actually push for a climate emergency to be declared.
Yes, I actually do think that there are multiple parties where that kind of pressure can be applied. And, you know, most people talk about voting with your dollar, right? Mm. So that's one way to do it as well. Keep those thoughts coming if you think we should declare a climate emergency, or if you'd like to weigh in on this notion of declaring a climate emergency. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.